Let us all say amen.
Amen.
And yes, we need a friend like Jesus.
Yes,
someone that can be there with us
yes,
when we're going through the things that we go through in this life.
That's right.
We need a friend
yes,
like Jesus. We want a friend like Jesus.
Always.
I want to thank all those that have participated thus far in our worship service this morning, all our brothers. I want to thank you for availing yourselves and sacrificing yourselves in the worship service on this morning. I want to say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, and hoping you are feeling excited this morning to hear another portion of God's word. Amen?
Amen.
As we study God's word. We'd like to say to those that are visiting with us in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42, the first time they worshiped the Lord after he had ascended, the Bible tells us what the five acts they participated in. In verse number 42, Luke wrote, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer." And so we have had our fellowship is when we share with the Lord what the Lord has blessed us with. Breaking the bread, we commune with the Lord. Our minds, as was stated, ought to go back to the suffering that the Lord did for us on that cross, and also the prayers we offer up to God through Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that we study. The word doctrine simply means teaching of the word of God. And he was specific. He talked about the apostles' teaching. And then also in verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God, we sing with the fruit of our lips. We do not use mechanical instruments in our worship to God. We give what God has already given us. He give us a voice that we can sing to God. Thank God how good God has been to us. And the Bible says, in having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're here this morning, we're hoping this morning, as we did on last Sunday, and those that obeyed during the week, we'll bring them up this morning after worship service. But we hope if you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the Lord in the sense that you are not a Christian according to the Bible, there are five specific acts that the Bible instructs for one become a Christian. No one is a child of God until they have obeyed the Lord. Amen. Yes. Anyone that is of the age of accountability, you must do what God has instructed to remove the sins in your life through Jesus Christ. And so we hope this morning, if you're here this morning and you have not done that, at the close of this message, my responsibility is to share with you what God has commanded for one to do to become a Christian. No one can be on their way to heaven until they obey the Lord. Amen?
Right.
You must be a child of God in order for one to have the hope of eternal life. Amen?
Amen?
And so we want to speak this morning from the subject, "For the people had a mind to work." Yeah. For the people had a mind to work. Now, this message today, I'm starting a series from the book of Nehemiah that allows us to look congregationally at ourselves, and we'll use as the Bible teaches those things and make application as it relates to us, because what we are reading today can apply today. What's today? December the 10th. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2023. Yeah, December the 10th, 2023. We can apply the word of God till today. So I want us to look at, for the people had a mind, and that mind was to work. The Bible teaches us in Romans 15, before we go to Nehemiah, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope." The word aforetime means those things that were written basically in the Old Testament, Paul said. Those things that were written, we can go and learn from those things that were written in. And this morning, we want to learn as a congregation those things that we find in the Word of God. And now, notice what the Bible said, that we through patience and comfort. Yeah, that teaches me that when I study the Word of God, it ought to give me some patience and it ought to give me some comfort. The Bible says, of the scriptures, we might have hope. Amen? Yeah, so I want you to wake up this morning. You're sitting there and you're nodding, wake up this morning. Yeah, I see some of us, I'm looking at some of us and we kind of, but understand this here. Even though I prepare my mind, I got to prepare myself the day before.
That's right.
Yeah, I got to go to bed on time. Yeah, I got to get the sleep I need. Why? Because I'm coming on Sunday morning to worship the God of heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, I can't worship God coming up in here asleep. You don't sleep when you're watching the Texans. Yeah, I know many of us weren't sleeping when the Astros went down. We was alert then. We need to be alert now. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Just work us up this morning. So now let us look at our letter this morning. Now, what I want to do is set up this letter that Nehemiah wrote foundationally. And so I want to look at a couple of scriptures that get us to our text. Thank our brother for reading our text this morning. But we want to get there by understanding in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, and they said unto me, Nehemiah said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me make this that we can understand from a metaphorical sense, and simply what I'm doing, I'm using one thing to show something else. It's a metaphor. And so I want to look at the fact that those of us that came back after these doors was closed for almost 2 years, when we had the flood, and actually our walls went down. Yeah, they had to strip everything down. Move the seats out. The flood, when it came, when the flood and the pipe busted. So when we opened these doors back up, there was a remnant. Yeah, and now the remnant, the definition is right there in the text, those that are left over. Yeah, you had those of us that said, Highland Heights is my home. And even though the doors closed for a year, almost 2 years, the Bible says, and they were left in captivity. Remember when we had to worship God in our homes? We were captive. We didn't have no building to go to. Yeah, I remember we had to get on the conference call, and we had to call in, and we had worship in our home. We were captive.
That's right.
At that time. And we did that for a long time. Yeah. So I want us to understand that this message is written to us right today. They were kept, those of captivity. And understand, some of us were going through stuff during that time. Some people end up with COVID during that time. Some people got sick. We lost people during that time. Bible says, the walls of Jerusalem also was broken down. Yeah. So I'm saying that I'm talking about the Church of Christ at Highland Heights. All walls were down. Yeah. And the gates, were closed. We couldn't come to worship here. Remember, that was the time we had to come by, and we had to, those that were faithful would come and drop their offerings off. In the building and mail them and doing other things. Why? Because we were held captive during that time. And the Bible says, and I think my brother did a good job this morning in prayer, Nehemiah 1:11.
Mm-hmm.
No. Nehemiah said, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of the servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I want to say to us, when we are faced with trials, tribulations, issues, challenges, problems, and for decisions, yeah, we need to pray first. Yeah. And so hopefully this congregation has been praying for this congregation. Yeah, we got to pray. Not only did Nehemiah pray, Nehemiah said the servants prayed. All of us are servants here at Highland Heights. We need to pray.
Yeah.
Ask God that we prosper. Not only that, notice what he said also. We also got to ask God in our prayer that God would give us mercy when we deal with people.
Amen.
Yeah, because sometimes we have to go to those that are not Christians for things we may need, a work we need done. So we also pray that God would give us, notice he said, mercy in the sight of this man. That man he was talking about was the king. So Nehemiah said in verse 5 of Nehemiah 2, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Now I want to say from that text, we as Christians ought to live the type of life that we find favor in the hearts of other people.
Amen.
Yeah, that's how we ought to live.
That's right.
That when it comes to someone showing favor to someone, they ought to want to show a favor because we walk upright. Because we carry ourselves right. We don't talk about people. We don't gossip. We don't sit around and try to do things wrongly toward people. We live upright. For that reason, Nehemiah said, Lord, give me favor as I deal with the king. Deal with the king. And also notice what he said. As I go into the cities of my father's sepulchres. And I want to say this congregation has funeralized many fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers, and we should want to build up this congregation because of those people that went before us. Yeah. And many of us have the love for this congregation that we need to move forward. Then Nehemiah said in verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he has spoken unto me. Watch this now. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that text tells me that when the hand of the Lord is upon some, the God hand is always good. And so we need to all know not only that God hand is good, but God hand has been good to each of us.
That's right.
Yeah. So Sometimes we look at our situations, and sometimes I like to sometimes say to myself, Horace Stroud, always understand things may not have to be as good as they are. They can always be worse. So we have to have a mindset that we simply thank God for things being as well as they are. Yeah. I went to visit a member yesterday and to see a person that going through their cancer and ringing their bell and then still having a positive attitude, that was encouraging to me. To see other people going through stuff and a smile on their face and saying, thank God.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had someone show us yesterday, said, Brother Stroud, I go by this sign. And she had a little sign that said, be thankful for the little things. That was her encouragement. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to us, we have to understand that God's hand is good. And God's hand has been good, as Nehemiah said, upon each of us. Yeah. Yeah. Now, watch the plea. After he told them God had been good to me, and that the king had given him a letter to return back to build a wall, note what the people's response was. They said,
yep.
let us rise up and build. Mm-hmm. We need every member here to have the mindset that we want to rise up, we want to build. Yeah. Each of us can do what the Lord will allow us to do. Each of us need to be able to do or want to do. That's what we're going to talk about. Having a mindset. I was sharing with someone this morning that we don't have to tell God what we can do. God knows what we can do.
Already.
The thing is, God wants each of us to do what we are able to do. Brothers, we need to step up. Let me say that. Thankful for those that offered themselves yesterday. But we need to step up and take the lead on leading this congregation. The Bible said they strengthened their hands, for this good work. And let me share this with all of us. The strength from your hands come from your heart. The strength from your hand come from your heart. You got to have a mind. That's my title this morning. Got to have a mind. So then we get into our text in Nehemiah chapter 4. A few verses. This morning. The Bible says, but it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Understand this, Highland Heights. When we try to do something for the Lord, we will face opposition. Everybody is not for what we're doing. And there may be some in the camp. Here, examine yourself. There may be some in the camp that's discouraging. But this person was a leader, we'll find. And notice now, when he heard about what was going to be done, someone hear about what Highland Heights are trying to do. We're showing love to everybody. The Lord is adding people. We don't do it. The Lord adding people to the church. We are serving the Lord. There are some that want us to fail. Sanballat wanted them. He got mad because this congregation is building back up. There's others that don't want us to succeed.
That's it.
Yeah. How you know that, Brother Stroud? Because he said in verse 2. Mm-hmm. And he spake before his brethren. He got with his people. and the army of Samaria and said, now watch these questions he asked. He asked about five questions. One, what do these feeble Jews, in other words, the word feeble means weak. Mm-hmm. So what he first said, wait a minute, that congregation, Highland Heights, is weak. That's the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we know we strong because we stand on the word of God. Yeah. It's not about us. It's book, chapter, and verse. Yeah, so we know we strong inside. And each of us ought to be gaining strength through the word of God.
That's right. There you go.
Secondly, will they fortify themselves? The word fortify means to strengthen. The second question is, will they strengthen one another? And I'm saying to our church, we need to strengthen one another. We need to spend time with one another. Yeah. And encourage them. And those that are sick and shut in, mm-hmm. we need to look after them. Not just those that assemble, anyone that is a member of the Highland Heights congregation, they are part of our family, yes. and we should care for them.
Amen.
So, Sam, like I asked the question, will they strengthen one another? Do they care about each other? Will they strengthen one another? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? In other words, the word to make an end means, will they finish the work? Sometimes, some of us, we start off. And then it starts dwindling.
That's it.
Yeah. What the Lord wants and what Sambala asked, will they finish? Will they finish? Will you have, I talk about this, will you have the stick-to-itness? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which was born? The word revive means make alive. We need this congregation to come on and be alive.
That's it.
Wake up. Yeah. Yeah. And it takes all of us, every one of us, doing what you can do. Now, when you get to, I didn't say it, but in chapter number 3, they started, Nehemiah became like an engineer. He started dividing groups up to do this and do that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We have ministries that's designed to move the church forward. But the ministries take members. Yeah. We need co-servants. We need co-leads. We need leaders that want to lead these areas that we can move forward in all that we do.
Right.
Then he talked about, I highlight this one word, the word sacrifice in the text that he uses in the Hebrew. The word sacrifice in the text, when he asked him, will they sacrifice? In other words, sacrifice means the act of giving up something you want to keep, especially in order to get or do something else or to help someone.
No.
So the question we're asking is, how many of us are willing to make a sacrifice? What are we willing to give up? And what I found was the most challenging for Christians sometimes is giving up your time. I talked about last week, 2 Corinthians 8:5, where Paul said about the Corinthian church, he said they first gave of themselves. We need every member, every member, to give of yourself, make a sacrifice for the Lord. The same, not the same, but make a sacrifice that is minimal to what the Lord sacrificed, giving his life for all of our sins.
Yes.
Make a sacrifice. Each of us we look at Word today. And then note what was said by Tobiah. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, by Sambalite. And he said, watch what he said. Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Mm. What he was saying, whatever they building, it ain't strong. Mm-hmm. He said, if a fox try to go up the wall, that wall gonna come down. Church, we need to build something that's strong.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need to make sure we fortify. Yeah, we need to make sure it's solid.
Yes, sir.
So whatever I'm giving to the Lord, I'm giving all that I got.
No.
Because I don't want nobody to say, man, if you just touch Highland Heights, they'll fall down.
Mm.
You know Highland Heights, they ain't worth nothing. Man, you go over there and do something, they'll start running and scattering.
Mm.
No, we strong. We going to be strong. Because we got the word of God, and we know it begins with prayer to our God. Let a fox come on up here. Yeah. Let a fox come on up and go up these walls. Yeah. Yeah. It don't matter. Then Paul said, or Nehemiah, excuse me, said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof. Watch the title here. For the people had a mind to work. Yeah. Highland Heights, we have, as I said last Sunday, we have enough here to do all that God wants us to do in this community, in this area.
Mm.
Yeah. If the Lord add to us as he did on last week, we'll thank for God give the increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We know our responsibility is to preach the word and to build us up, not only numerically, but also we got to develop and grow spiritually. For the people had a mind to work. Yeah. Our minds need, I'm gonna use three things that our mind needs. Yeah. Let's try, what does my mind need? Three things. Your mind needs determination. It needs focus. And it needs courage.
Yeah.
Determination means the desire to continue doing what we're doing. We got to have a mindset that when we start something, as well, the Bible says, we're going to finish, make an end of the day. A mindset that I have a desire, I want to continue in doing the Lord's will here. Also need focus. Yeah. I need purpose. Paul to the Philippians. For I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. What the Lord strengthens is your purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a purpose. My purpose is to serve this congregation. I'm determined to do that. I'm willing to make the sacrifices necessary. Whether, is there other things I can be doing? Yes, but I'm willing. Yeah. We have our meetings Saturday morning, and for our brothers and sisters, those that are able, that can attend. Brothers, we need you there. Supporting, understanding the work of the Lord here. The people had a mind to work. And then we need courage. By definition, courage, the ability to do something that you know is difficult. It takes courage. It's not easy being a Christian, especially when you're facing opposition. Sometimes the opposition comes from within our own family. Sometimes the opposition can come from within your own house. Amen. Sometimes the Stroud can start cutting up and start acting. Yeah. But we were visiting somebody yesterday, and I was telling the person, so what do you do when, what do you do when Sister Stroud start acting, stop behaving right? Well, let me say it right. What happened when Brother Stroud? Now you're going to say, there you go. Now that you get a there you go. Now you're making that picture right. What does Sister Stroud do when Brother Stroud start acting like he can act? I shared with a couple yesterday. Understand this, Sister Stroud. Just like Brother Stroud have issues and problems, you got some too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only one that's perfect I know of is Jesus.
No.
So what I'm saying to us in our homes, understand this, we got to be tolerant of one another. Yeah. When I do some thing that Sister I don't like, she have to be tolerant. That don't mean she can't try to correct me. But sometimes some brothers don't want nobody to tell them nothing. Yeah. Some brothers, you hard-headed. You're going to do what you want to do. But that ain't no Christian spirit. Yeah. Brother Stroud, you're wrong in doing this. Sister Stroud, I'm sorry. I apologize. Do you accept my apology? Yeah. Understand this, according to Mark 2:10, only Jesus can forgive sin.
Yes.
See, sometimes when we're in a relationship and things go haywire, I ain't ready to forgive him. Well, you ain't forgiving him anyway. Yeah, sometimes we get in a relationship, I want to stay mad at him. For what? Yeah. Let me see why I'm here. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me drop this on all of us. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to close my message this morning. Ephesians in the New Testament or Old Testament? Shit, find that stuff in here. Where that stuff at in the Bible, man? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4. What's the mindset? The mindset that I have is found when Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Yeah, this is how, Mr. Stroud, we have to deal with each other like this. This is how we deal with members.
Right.
We deal like this. In Ephesians 4:31, Paul told Ephesians, let all, not some, let all
bitterness
and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, even with all the malice you have. Wait a minute now. You saying I can't be mean to nobody, I can't hate nobody, I can't be bitter with nobody because of what they did to me, and Brother Stroud did all this to me, and you telling me, Paul, through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, you telling me I can't be bitter toward Brother Stroud? You telling me I can't speak evil of Brother Stroud? You telling me I can't have malice toward Brother Stroud? I can't be angry with Brother Stroud? The word, the Lord say, put it away from you. Yeah. Now, the question is why? Yeah, it's answered right there in the next text. Why, Sister Stroud, forgive me and put up with me and tolerate me and do all that stuff here? Because Paul said, and be ye kind one to another. Let your heart be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
That's the reason why none of us ain't got no business talking about nobody else. Yeah. Ain't nobody here bigger than nobody else.
There you go. That's it.
Not in God's eyesight. We all on the same level playing field. We're all looking up to Jesus. And so I got to have a heart. When we're talking about how do we strengthen one another, when we start loving one another, we start forgiving one another. That's when this church starts growing. But if I'm sitting around here and I got people I still don't speak to and I don't talk to, yeah, you ain't got to come tell me. Yeah, you can go to God. Let me say this while I'm here. If I do something at home wrong, Sister Stroud, and I have, the only two people know about that is her and God. Therefore, I'm just encouraging, teaching. I go to God and ask God to forgive me for the sin that I've done against my wife. I then go to my wife and say, Sister Stroud, will you forgive me for what I did or what I said? I don't need to come here. I'm just teaching. Because now what I'm doing, I'm reporting. I'm not repenting. I repented at home. At 4231 Mill Oak, I repented. Yeah. Between me and God. Amen. Let me say this. I'm here. When do I need to come before the church? Mm-hmm. And church, I've sinned, I repent of my sin. My repentance ought to be as public as the behavior. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
That's right.
Now, if I do something that the church saw, come back here, church, I have sinned, I repent of my sin, and I ask the forgiveness of this congregation. That's when I need to come before the church.
That's it.
But if it's something that is private, if it's something among people, go to those people and apologize. There's not a necessity to come here.
Amen.
And while I'm there, I'm going to drop this while I'm here.
Dropping.
And now we do this, and it was something that was implemented, and I'm going to just share it. I want to be careful that when the person that comes up, and I'm saying this to the church as a whole, and says, is anyone here that would like to get themselves right before worship service? I got to be careful that I don't think I need to just bring it here and get right here. If I did it in the car before I got here, I can get right before I come up here.
Amen.
I don't have to wait to get up here. Yeah.
That's right. You're right.
Now, I mean, it was a project that was done and you support and be cooperative, but I also want to share that if I'm not careful, I can encourage a person not to repent, then come here and do it. I'm just sharing.
That's right.
But I'm talking about this thing, so it's good to educate the congregation on things. If I did it before I got here, I know I did wrong. I can ask God to forgive me right there. Come in, I'm ready to worship God. Yeah, let's share those things so we'll know from the Word of God. If I did it and God, if God is the only one knower, sometimes you can think things wrong. Go to God. Ask God for the forgiveness for the thoughts that I had. I ain't got to go, Sister Al, you know, boy, shut your mouth. Let me say, I'm talking about, y'all remember that song? Yeah, now I know y'all ain't been to church that long. Yeah, y'all ain't been to church that long. He said, shut your mouth. I'm talking about weekend. Y'all know that song. Yeah, let me close with this. We have a mind to work. And now, whenever I do marriage counseling, one of the things I share with in counseling is the most important thing, and I share this with anybody about marriage, anything. The most important thing about marriage is communication. Go on record. I'm sure you Jesus showed that. God showed that. The most important thing in a marriage is communication. Yeah. Now that communication got variables. I gotta communicate with God first. That's through prayer. God communicates with me through his, through the word. But now also, I got to communicate with my wife, my children. And I say this, I'm here now. You know, it's always good to talk about marriage. Yeah, good thing to talk about, because we all need help in our marriage. And I say in my counseling sometime, I get over here with my senior sisters are, because you guys over there are kind of gangsters. So I say to, in my marriage, I say, let me just say this here. I say, you know you have AM radio. They say, yeah. I say, you have FM radio. They say, yeah. Then I say, you have Sirius radio. Now, when your relationship is on an AM frequency, you know at nighttime it gets static. You can't hear real good. Some of our relationships are on the AM level. We ain't really listening to one another. Yeah. So we talking, but we ain't hearing what the person said. That's an AM relationship. Yeah. AM. Yeah. Did you? No, I didn't hear you, babe. Then you notice FM is on a higher frequency. When the relationships get better, you smooth things out and you start letting, see, sometimes, let me say this while I'm here. Sometimes when you have that AM relationship, sometimes it's called by family members getting into your marriage. Yeah, they can interfere. And sometimes we ain't careful, your children can be that AM. Yeah, I know we raise ours after a certain while. You can't sleep up in here no more. You got to go get your own. Ain't nobody sleep between me and my wife no more. Get up. Go get in your bed.
That's right.
Yeah. Sometimes be careful, husband and wife. Because guess what? When them children that broke up your relationship leave, y'all still looking at each other.
That's right.
And they didn't cause all that fuss. Yeah. And understand, children, I don't know if they go to school to do this here, but they learn how to split parents. I don't know if y'all know that. They send them, when they're born, they send them to a little school. Y'all don't know that. They get out and go to school. They say, now, you learn when your mother asks you something, when you want to ask your mother for something, and she don't give it to you, just go to your daddy. Just go to your daddy. Just go to your daddy. And just tell him what you want. And just your daddy. We had a system in our house. I told my children, they said, let me just tell you this here. If you ever come ask me something, you ask your mother, hopefully your funeral stuff is paid up.
That's right.
Cause you may not make it.
That's right.
You may not make it.
May not make
no, you got, I'm saying with children, you got to teach them. You don't split parents.
Right.
If your mother told you something, don't come ask me what your mother already told you.
That's
now you got some of the parents that want to be friends with their children. Yeah. And one of them will tell them no, and then next thing you know, how did Destiny get those cookies? Well, baby, she can't. I told her she couldn't have no cookies. She didn't tell me. That's okay. I'll fix her. I'm going to take all the sweet out of her. Ooh, I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm just saying. Sometimes, you know, we again, AM, FM. Let me finish this. I'm going to go to my text. I'm closing. Oh, my time's up. Then you have Sirius Radio. Y'all know about Sirius Radio. Now, the one thing about Sirius Radio, there ain't no commercials because the relationship is just smooth. Do me and Sister Stroud get it like that, then we don't need no break from each other unless she just want to take one, and she will take one, I understand that. Yeah. But it's not because she need a break from me. She just want, Sister Stroud, go do what you want to do. Do you miss your wife? Yes, I miss my wife. She gone? Yes, she gone. When she go back? Whenever she get back. Close. God said, I tell the marriage counsel right there, this is what God said, the Godhead said, and the Lord said, watch this here, now I'm talking about communication, relationship. That's why I say the most important thing in a relationship, you got to communicate with each other. Don't go to bed mad, you got to communicate. Note what God said. Behold, the people is what? God said that. And they all have one language. In other words, they're on the same language with one another. We understand, we're listening. And the Bible says, and this they begin to do. Now watch what God said. You got your Bible, you'll see it in red. The Bible says, and I mean, I think that's in red. Yeah, the whole text is in red. Let me just make sure that's there. So when you go back and read it, because I got mine in black. Yeah, the whole text is in red. After it said, the Lord said. God said, and now, watch what God says. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. God said, when you got people on the same page, there's nothing you can't do with God's help. God said that. And all God did said, in verse 7, he said, let us go down and confound their language. Let's keep them from listening to one another. And I'm saying in Highland Heights, we got to listen to one another, and we nothing if all of us, if the people is one. God said, now nothing will be held from them which they imagine to do. All we got to do is be on the same page. God will do the rest. Because we're going to pray to God. All of us going to pray to God and ask him for the success of this congregation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You here this morning. Mm-hmm. You're not a Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you become a Christian. You no know, one, I said this morning, not a Christian unless you obey God. How do I obey God? Five acts the Bible teaches. One, you must hear the gospel. What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died, three facts, Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Those are the facts of God. You have to believe that. It's in the scriptures. And the Bible says according to the scripture. After you hear that, you believe it, you have to repent of your sin. The life you've been living and those sins you've been doing, you got to repent of those things. Turn toward God. Okay? And then in Acts 8:37, the only successful case that we have, case study we have of how a person will obey the Lord, we find when the eunuch wanted to become a Christian, he said, see here's water, what do him to me to be baptized? And Philip told him, if thou believe with all thy heart, he made the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You come down here this morning, you give me your hand, give the Lord your heart, you make that statement, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we would then water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sins. And then the Lord, according to we said in Acts 2:47, the Lord will add you to the church. Or if you need to respond to the Lord in any way, shape, or form, we give you the opportunity as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?